of our interns share a little bit. Christian, are you going to go ahead and make your way up here? I know you want to share. We'll wait. No rush. All right, while he's coming down, go ahead. It's on.
Well, we couldn't have done it without Miss Vicky or Miss Doris. She's sitting over there. So, okay, Christian's slowly making his way to the front. So I'm going to kind of explain like what the VBS internship is in case y'all don't know. So they had, or we had like five slots open this year, and it was me and Christian and Miranda, but she can't be here today. But basically what it is, we start the beginning of June, and we work 2 weeks, and we decorate the whole church for Bible school, and we get it ready. And at the end, we get a scholarship, so that is very helpful. But this year, this is my fourth year doing this, and I think this is probably my favorite Bible school to decorate because it's so colorful, as you can see, and I don't know. It was just really fun because it was only me and Christian that worked the majority of the time. And then Miranda came at the end and helped. But we just really, I don't know, we got to spend a lot of time together. And Miss Vicky bought us lunch every day, so that was nice. And I don't know, we just really realized we can't just get Bible school together in a week. So that's why we do it 2 weeks ahead of time. And I don't know, I'm really grateful for Miss Doris because she's been here with us since the beginning, and Miss Vicky's downstairs. But I worked with preschool this year, so that was fun. I do that every year. I do the Bible discovery for them, and through their eyes, they really may not understand a lot of the stuff, but it's still really fun to see them kind of engage in the stuff. And I don't know, I had a few favorites that I can't really say, but try to think if there's anything else I want to say. Okay, well, I'll let Christian share his experience.
Well, this is my first year officially doing this. Last year, towards the end of them setting up, I helped out a bit. But I just thought it was amazing to see being here, not being a part of, like, setting it up and stuff. You don't really think about how much really goes into it, how much Miss Doris and Miss Vicky put into it, because I mean, Vicky's already thinking about next year. She's got an idea of what she wants to do, and she works year-round on this stuff and seeing it all come together and stuff. And even with it going as well as it did this year, she's still stressed out about it. It's still something she worries about constantly, but it's amazing seeing how well everything can come together and just all the amazing things she's able to do and stuff throughout the year. And during actual VBS, I ran around as the creepy dude who would pop into rooms and take pictures and run away without saying anything. And some of those showed up on the screen. Some of them didn't want to cooperate. But I enjoyed being able to get a feel of what all actually has to go into setting up something like this and being able to be a part of that and see how much all the kids enjoy the work that you spend so much time doing. And I'm really hoping I'm able to do this again next summer.
Also, we have to take this whole sanctuary down today to give it to Trenton Methodist, so if anyone wants to help, that would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you, Sydney. Thank you, Christian. Again, thank you for all those that participated this year. It was a great year of VBS, and we've seen some wonderful things happen as a result. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 to 49. 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 49. The story of David and Goliath. Anyone familiar with that story? Jesus... Death and resurrection, Jesus' birth, Noah, and David and Goliath. Probably the four best known stories. in Scripture. And so today I want us to consider the story of David and Goliath. And again, this theme of Jesus rescuing, again, just fits so well with this passage. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 to 49 says this. This is David here speaking. "Don't let anyone lose courage because of this Philistine," David told Saul. "I, your servant, will go out and fight him." "You can't go out and fight this Philistine," Saul answered David. "You are still a boy. He's been a warrior since he was a boy." "Your servant has kept his father's sheep," David replied to Saul. "And if ever a lion or a bear came and carried off one of the flock, I would go after it, strike it, and rescue the animal from its mouth. If it turned on me, I would grab it at its jaws, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has fought both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he has insulted the army of the living God. The Lord," David added, "who rescued me from the power of both lions and bears, will rescue me from the power of this Philistine." "Go," Saul replied to David, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own gear, putting a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David strapped his sword on over the armor, but he couldn't walk around well because he'd never tried it before. "I can't walk in this," David told Saul, "because I've never tried it before." So he took them off. He then grabbed his staff and chose five smooth stones from the stream bed. He put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag and with a sling in his hand went out to the Philistine. The Philistine got closer and closer to David and his shield bearer was in front of him. When the Philistine looked David over, he sneered at David because he was just a boy, reddish brown and good looking. The Philistine asked David, "Am I some sort of dog that you come at me with sticks?" And he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said to David, "and I'll feed your flesh to the wild birds and the wild animals." But David told the Philistine, "You are coming against me with sword, spear, and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel's army, the one you've insulted. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will feed your dead body and the dead body of the entire Philistine camp to the wild birds and the wild animals. Then the whole world will know that there is a God on Israel's side, and all those gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't save by means of sword and spear. The Lord owns this war, and he will hand all of you over to us." The Philistine got up and moved closer to attack David, and David ran quickly to the front line to face him. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. He slung it, and it hit the Philistine on his forehead. The stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for your love and for your grace, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. May it penetrate our minds. Lord, we pray that you would be with the words you have given me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful as your servant David was faithful. Amen. In verse 47 here in this passage, David says something that I thought was kind of interesting. He says, "The Lord owns this war." He owns it. He's in charge. He knows exactly how this whole thing is going to happen. And he follows that with saying, "And he will hand all of you over to us." David's words here are words of confidence, not in himself, not in the things he can do, but in God's protection and in God's provision. You see, David knows something that Saul doesn't know. David knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to save him. To some of us, we hear David say this and we think that there's a tinge of arrogance in what he says. Maybe we think, well, he's just a boy, he's naive, right? You can only imagine what's going through Saul's mind as David is saying these things. But his confidence is solely in God. This week at VBS, we've focused on Jesus rescuing. Our mantra has been Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues. Like David before us, we've been reminding ourselves of God's provision, of all of the things God does when we're lonely, when we worry, when we struggle, when we do wrong, and when we feel powerless. In all those moments, Jesus rescues. And today I want to challenge and encourage us to have this same confidence in God, especially in light of the issues and the struggles that we face, individually or corporately, as a church. One of the things that I find most amazing about this story, of David and Goliath, is that all of this happens at the beginning of David's career and not at the end of his career. Right? When David gets older, he falls away a little, doesn't he? But here early on, he follows after God completely. Now, last week we read earlier in 1 Samuel how David was anointed by Samuel. And so David goes into this knowing that he has been anointed. The Spirit of God is upon him in this moment. We also know that the Spirit of God has left Saul. And so Saul is afraid. Saul doesn't know what's going to happen. David, on the other hand, is not. And I wonder today how many times we've considered or we've thought about things God is calling us to do, and we've thought, well, I'm too young to do that. I'll do it later. Maybe I'll do it when things are right, when I'm older, when I'm wiser, when I am more able to do the things that God is calling me to. And then when we get there, well, if I was younger, right, maybe I'd do that. But David's great exploits, his greatest moments of faith happen when he's younger. And we need to remember the courage of our youth. And we need to apply that to the wisdom of our maturity. I'll say that one more time. We need to remember the courage of our youth and apply it to the wisdom of our maturity. We need to boldly face the things that come our way, almost as eagerly and as excited as David. You'll notice here when Goliath is walking to the front line, David doesn't just walk to the front line, he runs to the front line, eager and excited to see God work, to prove God's existence to the Philistines. David is filled with the Spirit. And I wonder today, are we filled with that same Spirit? Jesus indeed rescues. He saves us, but he expects that we will take part in that saving activity as well. Right? When Jesus reaches out his hand to us, we have to respond and take hold of that hand and allow him to draw us up. If Jesus brings us to an impasse, to a situation with multiple good answers and we just don't know which way to go, we need to pause and we need to try to find where his footprints are and where they're leading us to go. And we do this with the gifts and the power that the Holy Spirit gives to us. We notice here that David doesn't face Goliath in Saul's armor. It's too big. It doesn't fit. He's never done that before. He's never used that before. David instead faces Goliath with a sling and a club. And then he uses Goliath's own sword to cut off his head. You know, so often I think when we're trying to do something that God wants us to do, or when we're thinking about something that God wants us to do, we think about all of the things that other people can do. What has the Holy Spirit given you in order to face life, in order to do the things that you've been called to do? You can't use the gifts that he's given to me any more than I can use the gifts that he's given to you. What is your sling? What is your club? What is your armor? For many of us, maybe God or the Spirit doesn't give us offensive weapons. Maybe we just get a shield, and we have to learn how to use that. Maybe he gives us some offensive tools. Maybe he doesn't. But what does he give to you? What powers do you possess? David is confident in his abilities because he's tested himself, because he's practiced these things. He's used the sling before. Anyone have a slingshot when they were younger? Yeah. When I first got one, I put a few windows out. Then when I found out what I was doing, I put them out on purpose. Right? You learn how to use these things. You learn how to be good at it because you want to be better than everybody else at it, right? And the same thing should apply to our spiritual lives and the way that we face issues and uncertainties, the things that come up in life. How do we practice those things? How do you practice your spiritual gifts? Do you practice your spiritual gifts? Are you too busy feeling powerless? Are you too busy focusing on the things that you do wrong? Are you too busy worrying about anything to move forward? Do you feel as if you are all alone in the midst of everything that's going on? I hope and pray today that if we do, that we might be reminded that Jesus rescues, that Jesus saves us. I pray today that we will have the confidence that David had, that youthful brashness, that naivete, if you will, from time to time, to just go and do what we feel God calling us to do. May we continue on in the strength of the Lord, knowing that we can't do it ourselves, but God is going to do it through us, with us, and for us. The story of David and Goliath is a familiar story. It's a beloved story. Will we allow it to be a real story in our midst? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for all that you have given to us, for your love and grace, ever present, always there. May the courage of our youth guide us, and may the wisdom of our maturity allow us to apply that courage so that we might face anything and everything, knowing that you are indeed with us. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.